Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The recovery from the pandemic, the worldwide challenges of shipping, of supply chain. At the same time, we can be very specific about the supply chain and the shipping on the West Coast of the United States. What about the East Coast? This is the Scala Report. Scala.com is a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I welcome the CEO of Scala.com, my informant, about worldwide supply chain, shortages, recovery from the pandemic, offices back to work, and at the same time, what we're looking at now is the war driving or contributing to supply chain problems. Chris Riegel, a very good evening to you, Chris. I read from the shippers. FreightWaves.com, a specific site about the backup in the ports. And we've talked about how the backup in the West Coast, Port of Los Angeles, has caused all kinds of ripples through the American economy and for a while was what was identified as the problem that caused inflation. But now, this headline within these last days, East Coast ports about to get slammed by a lot more ships. Capacity of Asia East Coast services to jump 40% versus 2020 to 2021. There, it reads in part, there were 64 container ships off East and Gulf Coast ports Wednesday last, and it looks like it's about to get worse. The number of liner services calling from Asia will surge to a new record high in the coming months. More cargo is diverting away from the Pacific Gateway, Los Angeles, Long Beach, where the ship queue has fallen to 42. The potential result? Escalating vessel backlogs along the East Coast, deteriorating service for importers. Are you seeing this already, Chris, in your business or the business of your colleagues and competitors, that the East Coast was seen as a open window, but it's now closing? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. Let's start with when government tells you something is getting better, don't necessarily believe them. In the West Coast ports, the government simply redefined what a backlog was. So instead of bringing ships in closer to Long Beach and Los Angeles, where they're easily counted from the shore, they're now saying, hey, you need to park off 100 miles offshore, and we're not really going to count you until you're scheduled in. So the West Coast logjam continues. It's also gotten worse with further problems relative to trucking. So even once something is unloaded, the queue times to be able to truck that equipment out or take it on intermodal have gotten larger. That forced many companies like ourselves and others to try to look at other ports, whether that be in the Gulf of Mexico, like Houston, or up and down the East Coast, Port Elizabeth, Roanoke, etc. The challenge being, time is added in having to go through the Panama Canal and queues there. So it's further exacerbating. Shippers as a whole are not seeking to move to the East Coast because the West Coast is working well, but because it is not working well. If there's a glimmer of hope, yesterday we heard that the spot pricing in containers, which at one point was in the $40,000 to $45,000 per 40-foot container, is now down to $15,000 or $16,000. So the costs are starting to decline on shipping, but the queues are getting longer and longer.
They add this detail. One of the challenges faced by Los Angeles Long Beach during the 21 season was that carriers deployed more smaller ships, both in regular services and as extra loaders. For ports, it's more efficient to unload the 10,000 TEUs from one 10,000 TEU ship than from two 5,000 TEU ships. So the adjustments themselves are causing the backlog. But let's look past the backlog to the worldwide shortages being reported that are either related to the war or related to the pandemic and the war together. For example, there is reported a shortage of pasta in Italy. There's also reported a shortage of wheat in North Africa, leading to changes of cuisine or a shortage of cuisine. This probably could be linked to the fact that Russia and Ukraine were major exporters of grain. Until now, with hundreds of ships in the Black Sea unable to leave or tied up or not delivering. But then we have concerns not only about wheat, but about corn and the big one, fertilizer. President Bolsonaro of Brazil was in Moscow right prior to the attack because he needs fertilizer, and he's not getting it from China, so Russia's the source. This will all contribute to the supply chain tangle. In addition, we have a headline this morning, or within these last days, why Russia-Ukraine war has not ignited crude tanker rates yet. Everyone's looking for what will happen in front of us, not immediately. Are you seeing that in your business, anticipating higher and higher prices, no matter how the immediate picture looks better?
John, I think what we look at in the technology industry, in the semiconductor industry specifically, is that everything in the Russia-Ukraine war is bad, but look to China. And in looking to China, because you still have the world's arguably heaviest value border crossing between the mainland and Hong Kong closed, electronics factories still being shut down in Shenzhen, further lockdowns in Shanghai, it's going to be a very, very rough series of months in the electronics and compute business because you're going to see further and more aggressive disruptions than we've seen before because China does have big blocks of territory shut down due to COVID in the heart of electronics manufacturing.
We come to the United States and the COVID recovery. The anecdotes are that New York is open and back to business. The anecdotes are that office towers are filling again, except there are what you'd have to say exceptions. The way it's presented to me is 3 days a week is now the ordinary way it's appealing to the workforce to return to New York City. We're talking about Manhattan here, the Manhattan Towers. But there's said to be an underground, well, not very underground, above ground revolt for 2 days a week. One major bank I know requires 5 days a week. Now, you see the office building, the office story from coast to coast, but especially in Silicon Valley. Has there been any sharp change in Silicon Valley's opinion about remote working versus being in the office 2 days a week or 3 days a week or even five?
John, it seems to still be very much a red state, blue state thing, where in the deepest of blue states, you see more pushback. In the red states, you see much more move towards going to work and being in that office and seeing that as a relief from working from home. Additionally, though, there's a generational band gap where the younger workers, the millennials, seem to prefer remote work and working from home. The mid-career, later career folks can't wait to get back into the office because they see it as being more productive. So definitely a striated or banded problem.
Yes. Also, about travel. You do national travel, and you also travel to Canada. So you've seen the restrictions and the mandates. I'm told that a number of mandates no longer exist that are on the books. Now, I know London's entirely open. Scotland is not. Edinburgh is not. On the continent, I can't say, but in Italy, where they've been extremely cautious, they have a green passport that seems to be waived by everyone. So the masking is voluntary, not mandatory. The masking in New York appears to have lifted entirely. I know London, it has lifted entirely. Nationally, I can report at Fish Fry's, I've seen photographs in the Pittsburgh area, only one person in a room of what looked to be dozens, all kinds of all age groups with small children, with moms, with dads, with elderly. No one was masked. So what are you reading about the mask mandate, especially at the airports where the activity has returned?
So in traveling and seeing, especially in the last several weeks with spring break travel hitting, the airports are extremely busy, back to pre-COVID and even peak levels of people being in the airports. People are being very compliant in the airports and on flights of masking up. But earlier today, you saw CEOs of the major airlines petitioning the Biden administration to say, let's lift the mask mandates for airports and in transit. it certainly seems that the air travel is one of the remaining points where masks and process and procedure are still a little bit difficult. That being said, globally, with the exception of Asia at the moment, most travel has returned to normal in terms of process and procedure to get in and out of countries. But you never know, is COVID actually done or are we just in a lull between waves?
Are you seeing at the airports? Because I remember you testifying how you would walk through airports and whole banks of stores, fast food and shops were closed. Are they all reopened now, Chris?
There's still a lot of disruption. The ones that survived the pandemic are generally open, but you'll still see in many airports 15, 20, 25% of shops that closed during the pandemic and have not relet. I think many of the concessionaires and retailers in that sector are waiting to know that COVID is done before investing and building back out in that space again.
And do you see people sitting next to each other close at hand in grabbing something to eat or waiting for their airplane, the way I saw at the fish fries in Allegheny County?
Generally speaking, at least in the airport, people will mask when they're moving, when they're sitting and eating or even sitting, drinking, the masks are off. It's as close to normal as you can get in most of those environments.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, my national traveler, my international traveler, watching the supply chain. Of course, inflation is driven by the supply chain, but what else? And also the return to, if not normal, at least a new way of dealing with office work and the COVID, lingering COVID. This is the Scala Report, Scala.com. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.